Back together again, you and I chatting it up. Brand new week right out of the gate. Monday, February 10th, 2025 on Connecticut Today, where I talked about remarks from Connecticut Democratic Senator Chris Murphy on ABC's This Week regarding recent actions by the Trump White House. CBS News correspondent Stacey Lynn dropped by to update us on the latest legal action in the Trump White House federal worker buyout offer case.
So what's the answer? What do you do when somebody that half the country didn't vote for comes in and does stuff that people all across the U.S. have been screaming about for years? Now, who do you pay attention to? Do you pay attention to a guy like Donald Trump and his kind of wacky friend there, Elon Musk? Brilliant guy, but we all know he's a little nuts. I think that's okay to say that. Do you go for them or do you go for the other side, mainly the Democratic opposition, largely being led by Chris Murphy, who talks about it like there it's the end of the world, but you know who you know won't even entertain doing what the other guy is doing. You see what I'm saying here? I love this. I can't get enough of this. The crazed chaos that's going on right now. And if you're an American, you should love this too. What have I been telling you? That whether it's immigration or federal spending, the second Trump term was going to be different than the first one because he doesn't care. He's 78, almost 79. He got a resounding win in the Electoral College. He got a win, a plurality in the popular vote. So he figures, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. Now, the problem here for the Democrats, and you're starting to see this now, they're flailing. They have no idea what to do here except go to the courts, which is fine. But here's the essential problem here. How credible are the Democrats going to be in the opposition to Donald Trump when most people know, the vast majority of Americans know, that although they may not like the tactics being used here by Mr. Trump and Elon Musk, they know the other side would never do it. Come on. Do you really think, and if you do, I'm going to give you a big hug and say it's going to be okay. Do you really think that the progressives in this country or the Democrats in this country, the massive Democratic power structure all the way on down through Washington and Hartford, do you think they would really audit some of these federal agencies? See, that's the part here I think that a lot of Trump critics don't understand. There's a significant amount of people in this country that are saying, hey, we don't love the guy, but look what he's doing. I've wanted this for years. Now, is Elon Musk doing it the way Congress would do it? Of course not. And that appeals to a lot of people. And there's a new CBS poll we'll get to momentarily. Apparently, people like what's going on. A couple of polls came out over the weekend, and they're like, yeah, well, listen, Trump's doing what he what he said he was going to do. And Chris Murphy is out in front on this, and we'll have remarks from Senator Murphy. He gave them yesterday to Martha Raddatz on ABC, and kudos to her. She tried to pin him into a corner saying, well, you can scream and yell, but there's not much you can do here, Senator. You know, your party was rejected this past November. So how are you feeling on this? Do you think that, as Senator Murphy said yesterday, this is the worst constitutional crisis since Watergate? Or are you of the, I guess, the slight majority of the country that says, no, this is okay? Yeah, Elon Musk is a little crazy, but look at what they're uncovering. See, notice what's going on here. Everybody in the opposition to Mr. Trump, and you can love Trump or hate Trump. Frankly, I don't care. I'm just watching this from the cheap seats up on the upper deck with my hot dog and beer. You know, you can watch this, and it's really good entertainment because the opposition to Trump is not saying in any way, shape, or form, well, these are phony numbers. They're not. They're trying to justify what has been put out there, a lot of this USAID, some of these programs, this DEI stuff, and now they're saying, well, you know, these numbers need to be interpreted correctly. Okay, you can say that, but the average American sees this and goes, well, wait a minute. You guys criticizing this never would have told us this. Why haven't you done an audit of USAID? See, that's where Trump is winning on this. Now, is he going to win the whole thing? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But how do you feel about this? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Are you in the camp of this is a constitutional crisis? Because that's what we'll hear from Chris Murphy coming up in a little bit. Oh, my God, this is a constitutional crisis. He said this is the worst thing since Watergate. Really? Okay, maybe. It's being tussled around to the courts. Or is this just the Trump opposition covering their rears? Some Republicans, mostly Democrats, who are saying, hey, well, wait a minute here. Your side never told us about a lot of this. It doesn't mean everything they uncover here is good or bad spending or proper or improper spending, but at least we're getting some transparency here. Now, because you see, the opposition to Trump, they're blowing it big time on this. They really are. Because if you notice, nobody on the Democratic side, and man, was my inbox and my Facebook feed, where I was bombarded with videos from Democrats saying, hey, we're going to stop this over the weekend. Not one, and I listened to most of them all the way through, not one video did I hear, well, if we're going to do a federal government audit, it should be done a different way. Now, maybe somebody has said that, but this is the thing. Hey, kids on the Democratic side, your side would never agree to this, and you know it. I love people coming up and saying, well, there's a right way and a proper way to do an audit. And I'm saying, well, yeah, Charlie, and your side would never agree to it. This is why people, for the most part, for now they lose their Social Security check, that ain't going to be good. So, you know, Musk has to be careful. But, man, I'm just saying, I'm laughing at all this. Because how many people for years and years and years have known, at least in some cases, that there is indiscriminate federal spending? And now, maybe not in the most gracious way, Musk and Trump try to show this, and everybody's up in arms. Ooh, the world's going to die. It's the worst thing since Watergate. Well, maybe or maybe not. But you know what? This could have all been avoided if we had an honest plan to audit things. So what's your thought on this? Are you quivering, shaking in a corner of a constitutional crisis, as Chris Murphy said? Or are you on the side saying, hey, it's about time? Yeah, we'll hear these comments later on. Chris Murphy yesterday on ABC's This Week with Martha Raddatz. He came out and said, this is the worst thing to happen to the U.S. since Watergate. And I'm like, wow, even I remember that old man that I am. Yeah, 11-year-old kid trying to figure out what's going on with Watergate here and John Dean and Archibald Cox. Remember that and all that? So that's what Chris Murphy's side is saying. And the other side of the country, according to a new CBS poll, which we'll get to momentarily, says, hey, things are fine. Yeah, Trump's a bit of a, you know, a bit of a sledgehammer here. So is Elon Musk. But how about the other side tell us some of these things that we're finding out? I don't know. How do you feel about this? All I know is I got a big bag of pork rinds ready and some Diet Coke. Bob in Fairfield leads us off today. Bob, good afternoon. How are you?
And good afternoon, Paul. I'm doing well. So, yeah, fiscal responsibility, forensic accounting in and of itself will never create a constitutional crisis. You might wind up with a constitutional crisis when Americans find out just how corrupt the politicians in Washington have been, and all of a sudden too many Congress people have to leave Congress all at once because they've been corrupt. But, yeah, there's no constitutional crisis with accountability.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. And that's interesting, and that is one argument of it. And I did hear that over the weekend, Bob. But the other side will come back and say, yeah, but wait a minute, this isn't the way to do it. Like, who are these young guys working for Elon Musk? They're not supposed to be touching this database or that database. And then the other side counters with, well, how about this list of stuff? And you see these lists of stuff going on for DEI, and I guess the big one that's all a buzz now is Sesame Street for Iraq. And I get that. I understand that. But what I don't want to hear from the opposition to the president, and you can oppose him all you want, but you're only digging your hole deeper if you come out and say, well, it's not a lot of money. Hey, this is what I'm hearing now. The U.S., well, we have a $2 or $3 trillion a year budget. So even if they save $50 million, that's nothing. No, no, no. Don't do that. That's not going to do you well. Because the average guy spinning the wheel saying, what do I pay first this month, the electric bill or the natural gas bill? They don't want to hear, well, it's only 30 or 40 million bucks. That's a rounding error. No, no, no. Do not do that. Ron in Trumbull's here. Hey, Ron, good afternoon. How are you?
Someone needs to define for me what a constitutional crisis is. How do you define it? What's the definition?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every time you ask, you get a lot of mumbo-jumbo. You know, I saw on the Fox this morning, they had a list of the different things that USAID had invested in.
Yeah.
There had been several entries in there for sex-changing surgery.
I know.
Why are we paying to have somebody have their sex changes changed in other countries, never alone in the United States? I mean, come on. What's going on here?
And Ron, thank you. And when I play Chris Murphy's remarks later, and I did not edit them, I'm going to play it in two parts, about 3.5-4 minutes each. He says, and he is saying, well, a lot of these things that we pay for in other countries are to blunt the possible influence of China and or Russia. Okay, but I think people can delineate perhaps food and medicine versus, you know, strange things like different versions of Sesame Street and sex change operations and things like that. But what do I know? I'm just a dumb suburban white guy. Al is driving around this afternoon. Al, how are you, sir?
Hey, howdy. On this subject of accountability and
yeah.
Then claiming, well, this is not the right way. Okay, they need to understand that for years, not months, years, mm-hmm. Republican congressmen and senators have been demanding answers and accountability from USAID, USAID, and other agencies, and particularly USAID, refused
mm-hmm.
to give the Republican congressmen and senators any kind of accountability and answer any questions as to where their money was going. They refused. So when the Democrats say, well, this is not the way to do it, it needs to be done through Congress, Congress tried.
It's never going to happen. Al, that's never going to happen.
I know it's never going to happen. And so now that they've gotten caught with their pants down, they're screaming bloody murder. Well, the first person to be doing all the screaming and yelling is the person that's guilty.
Al, thank you. Good points there. Yeah, I mean, folks, listen, of course, would we like a consistent audit of these departments? Of course we would. Now, apparently, the Pentagon is going to be next. Ooh. And also the Department of Education. See, that's the whole thing. That Al, thank you. Maybe I didn't touch on that enough. But, yes, people have been screaming about this stuff for years. And to the people who say, well, we're all for an audit here, but it's got to be done the right way. You know what got to be done the right way means in political speak in D.C. or in Hartford? It'll never get done. It'll never get done. Now, that also means that Mr. Trump and Mr. Musk and the people doing this under Elon Musk, they've got to be careful. Do not slip up here. And if you do, if somebody loses their life savings or you start to get these, if you get any mass occurrences of identity theft or fraud, then no, you can't do that. Before news, Larry the Cable Guy is here. Larry, how are you, sir?
What's up, Paul? How are you doing?
Larry, it couldn't be better, my friend. What do you think on this?
A lovely Monday, right?
Yeah.
And a good Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, a little boring, but it was all right.
Yeah, it was all right. Well, the entertainment was a little kooky, too. But, I turn around and I look at it and I say to myself, first of all, that's my taxpayer dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I'm concerned. Of course I want to know what's going on. And they scream transparency. Here's the transparency. But we don't want to know nothing because, like you just said, too, we're going to start exposing people that don't want to be exposed.
Larry, thank you. Appreciate the call. The key thing here is, Larry, is transparency. And, you know, a lot of people are conflicted here because they at their core, they like – At their core, they want to see certain things exposed, but at their core, they also are probably not happy that it's coming from the Trump side of the aisle. But what do you think? We have some new poll numbers coming up. So what side of the aisle are you on here? Not necessarily your party affiliation, but this whole thing. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Chris Murphy, one of our two Senate members, said yesterday, I'll have it for you later. He said, hey, this is pretty close to a constitutional crisis. And a bunch of people on the other side are probably looking at him and saying, nah, not really.
I think this is the most serious constitutional crisis the country has faced, certainly since Watergate. The president is attempting to seize control of power and for corrupt purposes. The president wants to be able to decide how and where money is spent so that he can reward his political friends, he can punish his political enemies. That is the evisceration of democracy. You stand that next to the wholesale endorsement of political violence with the pardons given to every single January 6th rioter, including the most violent who beat police officers over the head with baseball bats. And you can see what he's trying to do here. He is trying to crush his opposition by making them afraid of losing federal funding, by making them afraid of physical violence. And so, yes, this is a red alert moment when this entire country has to understand that our democracy is at risk. And for what? The billionaire takeover of government. I'm sure we'll talk about this, but Elon Musk is inside our federal agencies.
But let me just say right now, they want to cut the federal budget. They would disagree that it's corruption or anything else. They want to cut the federal budget and the workforce. Do you have issues with that?
Well, I don't, but there is no evidence that that is the goal. Ultimately, at USAID, they sent a whole bunch of people home who are still getting paid. And I think you have to ask, why are they doing this if it's not actually accruing any savings? And to me, again, the reason is that somebody like Elon Musk stands to gain from the closure of USAID. It makes America much less safe around the world, but it helps China. USAID is a thorn in the side of the Chinese government. Elon Musk has many major business interests at stake inside Beijing. And so making Beijing happy is going to accrue to the financial benefit of Elon Musk and many billionaires who outsource work to China.
Senator, you have the court process working. A judge has now barred Elon Musk teams from the Treasury database. They have blocked Trump's birthright citizenship executive order. So why not just let the system work?
Well, I mean, first of all, we're not sure it's working right now. I continue to get reports from Connecticut that agencies there, like Head Start programs and community health centers, are actually not receiving the funding that they are due. So I think there's a big question as to whether the administration actually is implementing the court order. And the pace of this assault on the Constitution in order to serve the billionaire class, it is absolutely dizzying. And so you have to run a full-scale opposition. You can't just rely on the courts. Ultimately, you've got to bring the American public into this conversation because we need our Republican colleagues in the House and in the Senate ultimately to put a stop to this. You cannot just rely on the court system when the challenge to the Constitution and the billionaire takeover is so acute and so urgent.
You talk about the American public. According to a recent Reuters Ipsos poll, a majority of Americans, 56%, support freezing U.S. foreign aid programs, excluding the life-saving assistance. So what would you say to those people when Donald Trump and Elon Musk say, what we are trying to do is exactly what you want?
But they're not freezing programs. They are eliminating the entire department. Their plan is to go from 14,000 employees down to 300.
And fold it into the State Department?
Well, no, they're talking about eliminating it. I mean, that's just a talking point, folding it into the State Department. They were lying when they said that. They are eliminating the department altogether. When you go from 14,000 employees to 300, you have no soft power left in the world. The military tells us that if you eliminate foreign aid, you will have to double the number of bullets you buy them. Why? Because we prevent conflict around the world through things like economic development and conflict resolution. I think the American public are learning about the scale of this corruption, how our foreign policy is being turned over to billionaires like Elon Musk, to help them financially. And as the American people are learning how much influence the billionaires have and how corrupt our policy has become, they are turning against this handover of government to the very few economic elites.
Senator, do talk a little bit about USAID and how it works. It's a subsidy program. The taxpayer dollars pay farmers for soy or rice, and then those are donated, correct? How much of it is a subsidy?
Well, listen, most of what USAID is doing is employing Americans and often foreign nationals to try to prevent instability and conflict. They are also working to try to reduce the reasons why young people join terrorist groups overseas. They are chasing Chinese and Russian influence. I mean, listen, the major question of the next 50 years is who will control the piping of the international economy, the United States or China? It's USAID, not the U.S. military, that is working to try to blunt Chinese influence. So it's ultimately American and European rules that control the global economy, not Chinese rules. So USAID is out there protecting American jobs and American interests. And if you roll up USAID, it is just a massive gift to China in particular. And that is very bad for U.S. national security interests, very bad for the U.S. economy and U.S. workers.
You talk about the Democrats. Senator John Fetterman is urging his fellow Democrats to calm down a bit on language exactly like yours, saying if you keep yelling, people are going to stop paying attention. Democrats have already used the most severe kinds of language and condemnation. It's going to lose its value and no one's going to pay attention to it. Your response?
I don't agree. I'm not going to calm down. I had 800 people at a rally with 24 hours notice in Connecticut this last weekend. This is a fundamental corruption. And democracies don't last forever. And what those who are trying to destroy democracies want is for everyone to stay quiet, for everyone to believe that the moment isn't urgent. They want to use violence and the threat of violence and the threat of arrest to keep the opposition at home. We are not going to do this. We see this as a crisis of epic proportions. We were watching the billionaires try to steal government from the people. And I think the broad cross-section of the American public, as you've seen in the last week, is going to rise up and say enough. If they want to,
we've seen people rise up. We've seen protests, but these are not massive, massive protests. How do you keep doing this? Who is leading this in the Democratic Party? What is the vision?
Well, I mean, we're only 2 weeks into the administration, and you have
and yet you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, and you have seen some very big crowds. But I don't think the American public knew what was going to happen. I mean, I don't think that Donald Trump ran on giving his billionaire advisor access to Americans' personal financial data, access to their Medicare and Medicaid records. So I do think there's a lot of people out there who didn't think Donald Trump was going to do some of the most reckless things he said, and certainly didn't think that the conflicted billionaires were going to have access to their personal information.
Well, I got to tell you, I've known people who've covered D.C. in the past and the White House briefings and all that and what's going on Capitol Hill. And, boy, you talk about whiplash, not too much going on at the end of the Biden years. And now it's a thrill a minute every day. And joining us right now is CBS News reporter Stacey Lynn. You often hear on the newscast here on the beat today, covering a federal judge holding a hearing on the Trump administration's deferred resignation program. Again, this is the quote-unquote buyout program. Big pushback on this. Hey, Stacey, it's Paul in Connecticut. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine, Paul, and I just used the term whiplash describing how I felt literally about 5 minutes ago talking to
someone. Stacey,
you were so right.
Well, look, I have to believe that, listen, the end of the Biden years days were what it was, and you know, I used to see the stuff coming out of the White House, and I would hearken back to what my friends used to say, hey, slow day. They put a lid on it at 10:30 or 11 this morning. But
right
now, you guys and gals, look, seriously, how much coffee do you drink? I mean, I don't know whether you're a coffee person, but it must be nuts there.
I love my coffee. I will say I'm pretty good about having one, like, double espresso in the morning, and then I try to, like, chill it out after that, because then we go home, you know, eventually, and you can't even settle because your mind, it doesn't even matter about the coffee factor. Your mind is going a mile a minute.
Absolutely. So this case, it seems pretty simple. A lot of us have heard of people, or maybe some of us in the business have taken buyouts, but what's the argument against this, and who's fighting this, Stacey?
Okay, I'm going to first give you some news that is not entirely confirmed yet, but we are just hearing it. It's just coming in right now that at that hearing in Boston today, a U.S. judge has kept his block on the president's plan for federal employees. They've kept that plan in place. He said he would consider imposing it for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. The decision there prevents the Trump administration from implementing the buyout plan for now, which is kind of a victory for these labor unions that have sued to try to stop it. So I'm going to back up for you, so we know for sure what's going on here. This whole hearing was to determine if the deferred resignation program, you use the term buyout, for federal employees would stand. 2 weeks ago, OPM sent that fork in the road email to more than 2 million federal employees, and they had like 9 days originally to basically decide what to do. But then a U.S. district judge jumped in and temporarily paused the program. That was last week on Thursday, after several unions representing about 800,000 of these employees filed this lawsuit calling the deal unlawful. So the unions are arguing that OPM exceeded its authority in promising that they would get paid, they would get full benefits through the end of September. But clearly, a lot of flags went up because funding for most federal agencies expires in March. And there's this law that's known as the Anti-Deficiency Act. It prohibits federal agencies from obligating any spending that's not approved by Congress. Add to that, you had Democratic attorneys general from 20 states and D.C. They filed a brief this weekend in support of the unions, asserting that the resignation could have disastrous implications. You know, it would devastate the state's abilities to respond to natural disasters, support veterans, and deliver crucial services to millions of Americans if you have no one filling these positions, if they're basically, you know, put on leave. So where things stand right now, the hearing, I believe, is over. In the meantime, there was that deadline that OPM had kind of extended until 11:59 p.m. tonight for federal workers to make that decision. But I guess now that is put on hold until we hear more from this judge.
All right. Stacey Lynn, CBS News. Stacey, thank you. We'll chat down the road. Be good. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. There you go.